Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Bava Kama Daf Nun Aleph. We are holding on Daf Nun Amud Beis, four lines off the bottom of the Yomid. We begin with a story. Hahu Tura, there was a cow, the Nafal, that dropped into this irrigation ditch, La Arisa, a ditch to Deloy, from which water would be drawn to irrigate the fields. And Rashi explains, this ditch was merely 6 tefach deep, so it's way less than your 10 tefach depth required for a boyer, you know, to be liable for the animal falling into it and dying. So the minimum shear of a boyer, as mentioned in the Mishnah yesterday, is 10 tefachim, and here it was only 6 tefachim deep. So the owner of this animal quickly went to the sheikh, you know, he did the shechita in order to have the flesh. Tarfi Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says this thing's a treifa. Rashi explains why. Because there are 18 types of, you know, internal wounds. Yudches treifos. Interesting. Chai treifos. But this animal here, even though it didn't really exhibit necessarily any internal wounds, but an animal which has this sort of, you know, sudden drastic drop, it's called risuke evarim. We're concerned that perhaps there was some sort of, you know, crushing of internal, you know, organs. So until the animal, you know, establishes itself as being healthy and viable, we're concerned that perhaps something happened, something went wrong. There was some sort of internal wound, which makes it a treifa. So, in order to prove its health, it has to, you have to leave it around for at least 24 hours. And if it survives that, you know, period, you know it's okay. Now this owner quickly, hurriedly went out and shechted the animal. Before anything could happen, Tarfi Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman labeled it a tray for forbidden for consumption of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman responded, Yishokil Murray, if only the owner of this, the haitura of this animal would have taken kaba de kimcha, a small measure of flour, a kav of kemach, you know, to feed him on, you know, to food for the trip. Va'azal v'tanabe midrash, and he would have just gone to the Beis Medrash to learn a little bit. So if he would have traveled to a local yeshiva and learned just the halacha, basic halacha, im shasa me'ez le'ez k'shera. So if this type of animal who experienced this fall sticks around for 24 hours, then we know it's okay, it's healthy, and it's kosher. If only he would have learned that halacha and would have waited patiently 24 hours and then went ahead with the shechita le'afsa de litura, he would have been lucky and would not have lost his shoyer, the shava kamakavi, which is worth many kav of a flour. So if only he would have invested that little bit of effort, he would have gained, but unfortunately, he jumped into it haphazardly, and now we cannot allow him to have the animal. Bottom line is, Rav Nachman's concern was because, why? Because the animal tripped into this ditch. But the ditch was only 6 tefach deep. Why would it kill the animal? So apparently Rav Nachman is of the opinion that yesh chavata v'pachas me'asara, the concept of lethal impact applies even for a depth less than 10 tefachim, which is a chiddush, and it's going to be a kasha from our Mishnah, which provides the minimum to be 10 tefachim. Esvei Rava Rav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman, look at our Mishnah. Hoye pchusin masor tefachim. Benavol osoyche sharecham. Hoye remeis potter. If the ditch was less than 10 tefachim deep, if the burr was 9, 8, or 7 deep, an animal falls into it, you're potter. My time of why? Lav mishum de lesbi chavot. Apparently because there's no lethal impact if it's not 10 tefach deep. That's a kasha on Rav Nachman. No, loy mishum de lesbi havla. Rav Nachman goes like Rav, which we learned yesterday, holds that the reason for liability in boyer is because of the hevel factor, the stuffiness, the lack of oxygen, the mistiness, the humidity, that makes the victim susceptible to injury and to death. So when it's less than 10 tefachim, doesn't have the same degree of hevel required to kill. And therefore, you're a potter. But with respect to the halachos of treifa, certainly there is impact. There is lethal impact, which raises this concern of perhaps the animal being internally wounded. But when it comes to liability for digging a burr in the street and creating a hazard for another animal, we're going like Rav, that you're not chayiv for impact, because the impact occurred with the ground, which doesn't belong to the pit digger. It's called karka ilum. He's only chayiv for something that he personally generates, which is the hevel, and there is no hevel in a shallow burr. Yehachi says the Gemara, but if that's the case, there's no hevel, then why does the Mishnah say v'im huzak boy, if the animal was injured by falling into this burr, you're liable chayiv? Halas behavla, I thought there's no hevel. Amalei, so he responded, okay, there's some degree, some level of hevel which is sufficient to generate injury and not death. Ein hevel lemisa, but there is hevel v'yesh hevel l'nezaken, to injure, and that's why he's liable for nezaken. Eisve, comes another kasha, which we asked on Rav Nachman, who seems to hold that there can be even, you know, lethal impact with less than 10 tefach of a drop. So a person is going to be taking out to a skila through the bezin, so they throw him off this roof, which was situated on a structure 2 kaimais. Kaima is the height of a person, so it was double the height of a person. So they used to toss, you know, they used to push him off that height. V'toni Allah, and the Bryce explains, V'koyma shaloi, in addition to the double, sort of double floor, there was a third level as well, meaning his own height. So if you add that to the 2 koymas below, Harikan Shalosh gives you triple height, and he was pushed off that height in order to kill him. Now, according to Rav Nachman, that there's a concept of chavata, of lethal impact, even with a drop which is less than, you know, a fall which is less than 10 tefachim, lamali kuli hai, what do you have to push off the, you know, the person off such a great height? Even less than that can kill him. Well, tameich says, okay, according to you, 10 tefachim is the minimum, right? Okay, so let them push him off a 10 tefach structure. Why do you have to go so high? 2 koymas, 3 koymas. Na'aved asara, let's just use 10 tefachim. Oh, there must be a special reason why we go higher. Either way, Elok Rav Nachman, Domer Rav Nachman, oh, it's Rav Nachman himself. Domer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Ravua, Omer Krova, Haftarach Kamoicha. Even when it comes to applying capital punishment, we're still sensitive to the, you know, the person, and we exhibit sensitivity. We choose the most efficient, expedited, you know, way of death, and you know, the higher you go, the quicker it goes. So that's what we do. Yachi, if that's the case, let them really bring it really high and push them off the tallest building. Mishum de Minville, because it results in a very undignified, you know, consequence, and therefore we don't do that. So we sort of strike a balance, not too low, not too high. Eisvi, comes another kashan of Nachman, who says, even a less deeper fall, you know, even a fall of less than 10 tefachim can create misa, can generate death. So the pasuk speaks about the chiyuv of making a railing, a maka. Be careful so that nobody falls off the roof. So it's only a concern, only a chiyuv, if there's a way to fall off the roof, you know, to the ground below, but as opposed to falling onto the roof. Ketzet, for instance. Let's say the street level was 10 tefach above my roof, and at most a person can only fall into my roof from the street. Potter, so in this case there's no chiyuv of ma'ake. But the other way, if the street level is 10 tefach below my roof level, which would entail a person falling off my roof into the street, chayiv, that generates a chiyuv of ma'ake. Now, why speak of a 10 tefach fall? If chavata applies even less than 10, which would appear from Rav Nachman's story with the cow falling, you know, sinks into the 6 tefach ditch, so why is the shear of asara a precondition for chiyuv of ma'aka? Even less than that is dangerous. Amar Leisi responded, Shani Bayis, you're right, even less than a ten tefach fall can be dangerous. But here, the point is, Shani Bayis, the Chiv of Mak is specific to around the railing on top of a house, a permanent dwelling, you know, which creates real hazard because people, you know, assume things are safe and it's a regularly used area. It's not just a cliff, a high point, which doesn't need a market. The Chazanish explains this. He says, you know, a person knows to be careful. You walk on a high area, you're aware, you're cognizant of the danger involved. You don't need a market. Every place there is some danger, but you know, there's a house, it's established, it's a dwelling area, it's a residential. People tend to assume it's safe to be used, and they sort of lose sight of the fact that there is danger involved. So there, the Torah obligated one to affix a makif, and in order for it to be considered a bayis, it needs to conform to the dimensions of a bayis. And the minimum height of a bayis is 10 tefachim. You can't live in a room less than 10 tefachim high. So that's the point of 10 tefachim. Nothing to do with whether it presents danger or not. Maybe even less than 10 presents danger, but it's a precondition for it to be considered a house, which triggers the chi of mak. Okay? A house less than 10 tefach high is not a house. Yachir says the Gemara, okay, so let's say the house from the outside is 10 tefach high. What are you gaining? Because the inside is still less than 10. Deduct, you know, for the roof, for the ceiling. Let's say it measures up to 10 tefach on the outside, so the outside dimension is 10 in height, but dal minei tikru maziv, you have to deduct the ceiling and the paint and the, you know, the cement, whatever, mikavoi, which is on the inside, which gives you a room less than 10 tefach high, which doesn't really qualify as a house. They have a asara. Almost, he says, we're speaking that he dug out the floor and lowered the floor, so ultimately you have 10 tefach inside as well. If that's the case, if you're digging, then so even if there's less than 10 tefach outside, you can still have a case that have megavoy asara, they have 10 tefach height on the inside. You dug 5 tefach inside. I mean, so why do we have this precondition of the house being 10 tefach high? Even if it's 6, but if you dug 4 on the so the Gemara backs away from that shot. You're right. The point is that only a 10 tefach, you know, drop presents a lethal, you know, a danger, lethal concern. And that is why 10 tefachim is the precondition for chiyuv mak. So back to the question. So why did Rav Nachman concern himself with this animal who merely fell 6 tefachim into the ditch? The answer is it was really 10. You know why? Elohim Nathamad Rav Nachman suffered. He held like this. Mikreisa the Tur La'ara. It was a cow, right? So there was a gap from the belly until the floor. That's first of all. How much is that? Mikreisa the Tur La'ara from the belly until the ground. Kamehavi Abba. That's 4. Arisa the Loi Kamehavi. What about the irrigation ditch? It's another 6. Shita. Gives you a total of 10. Ha'asaras, an animal, the body actually dropped 10. There you go. Ishtakach. So it turns out, Techikamachabit Masaro, the Kamachabit, that it impacted from a height of 10. Okay? So that's the bottom line. Of course, the Chavata for Misa requires 10, as per Makkah, as per Rav Nachman's story. Elamas Nisan Tony. What about our Mishnah? Where it says, Ma bor shehu kedei lahomis yutfachim, af koil sheish boi kedei lahomis yutfachim, that the bor needs to be 10 tefachim deep. Why? Why 10? 6 should be enough. Plus the gap between the belly and the floor. Bishita namisagi, why isn't 6 enough? The answer is Amri, the answer that was given was Masnisan, the Mishnah speaking, the Ganda Labur, the animal was sort of on the floor rolling into the burst. There was no gap between belly and floor. In that case you need that the burn be actually 10 tefach deep to create lethal concerns. Continues the Mishnah. Bur Shoshnei Shutafin. You have a bur that belongs to two partners. Avar Olav Arishim Lekiso. So Reuven, you know, used it and left. Vasheni Lekiso. So Reuven didn't cover it, nor did Shimon. And the Gemara explains that Reuven actually handed over, you know, control to Shimon, put him in, you know, in custody. Hasheni Chayiv. So Shimon is responsible. Now, how do we even get to the point of two people owning a bur? Amri. So the question was, bur shel shnei shutafin heichem mishgachas. How could you have a bur owned by two people? So hanicha Yisrael and Rabbi Akiva. So all is good and well. If we all like Rabbi Akiva, the Amar says, bur b'shus echayiv, that a person is responsible even for a pit dug in his backyard, which he made accessible to the public. So you can have mishkachas. You can have b'chatzah shel shneim. Adjoining their own property, Uber Shoshneim, and two people own the bar as well. If Kiru Rishuson, and they opened up their Rishus for public access, but they held on to the bar, so you have two people owning a bar and are jointly responsible. Elo Yisrilan by Rishus Epatot, if you go according to the other opinion, that the only time you chayiv is for a bar in the street, as opposed to a bar dug in private property. So you can never have a bar which is jointly owned by two people. How could you ever be liable for a bar b'shus rab only in the street, right? Well, bar b'shus rab bar shel shnei shutafin heichem mishkachas lo. How could you ever have a bar in the street owned by two people? It's inherently ownerless, right? Well, either shavu shliach tarvayu. Suppose Reuven and Shimon both made a shliach. Va'amrilan, they told him, zil kirilon, go dig a bar for us. Vazel karul, and he did it for them. Well, they're not liable. Ein shliach l'varavera. If somebody does an avera for you, you're not responsible. He should have listened to Hashem and not to you. So there's no liability at all. And let's say Reuven dug five. Shimon added another five. Well, in that case, Shimon totally takes over the bar. There's no joint liability. Rishon's actions are totally gone because Shimon totally, you know, overtook the bar. So once again, it's not a partnership. Now, Hanicha LeRebbe. Is going to be a machlekes coming up between Rebbe, who says that if Reuven, let's say, digs a bur 9 tefach deep, which can harm but can't kill, and Shimon comes and adds another tefach and makes it a lethal bur. So according to Rebbe, in this case, when it comes to the bur damaging, causing harm, Reuven and Shimon are both responsible because both sort of contributed to the, you know, the nezek capability of the bur. So hanichal Rebbe, according to Rebbe, it works. Ulam Zachin was speaking about damages, so mishkachas. So you can have a case where two people are liable, as we explained. Ela l'Rebbe l'misa. But even according to Rebbe, if the bar actually killed, only Shimon is liable because he added the tenth tefach and made it into a lethal bar. So Reuven is out of there. Shimon is in there. Just Reuven. Ula Rabban, or according to Shittas Rabbanon, who hold that Shimon, who added the tenth tefach and turned it into a bar that can kill, he's totally liable for everything. He sort of overtook the entire bar, bein lamisa, bein lanzakin. So either way, hechem mishkachas lo. Once again, how do you have a jointly owned and jointly, you know, liable bar? Amar b'yeichanan kigon she'akru shlehen chulivas achas v'shlimu la'asara. So basically, he had a pit ten tefach, nine tefach deep. Reuven and Shimon both grabbed a shovel and they flipped out the 10th tefach. They turned it into a bur asura, so they both physically, you know, actually generated that bur, and therefore it's a bur shel shut. Okay, we made mention of Rebbe and the Rabbanon. That got us curious. My Rebbe, my Rabbanon, where do we find this machlekes? The Sani, we have the price. Echad achayfer bur tisha. Reuven dug 9 tefachim, uba acher v'shlim al asura, and Shimon came and added another 10th. Hachron chayv. Shimon is totally liable for the entire bar. He takes over the whole bar. Rebbe Omer, no. Depends what happened. Achar, achron lemisa. If the bar killed, only Shimon did that, so he's totally responsible. V'achar shneim lemezakim. If the bar caused harm or injury, well, Reuven also contributed to that because his bar could have done the same. So they're both jointly liable. My time at the Rabbanon. So the question is, why do Rabbanon say that if, you know, Shimon merely added a tenth tefach, he's totally responsible for anything? Why? It could have harmed without him too. We have a pasuk, the makro. If a person opens up a pre-existing pit in the street, or he digs one, why this repetition? If he's chayev for just opening a bar, uncovering a pre-existing pit, which was already there with Adam, certainly he's chayev for digging a bar. It's coming to teach you that in the case where he was kirachakira, it was already dug, and he added another layer of depth. See, like Masarishain. The Torah holds him liable, only he is responsible. He surely, certainly takes over the bar, completely assumes custody and liability. The Gemara later will tell us, it's specific to a case where, you know, the first fellow only did a 9 tefach bar, and the second one came along and sort of upgraded it to a bar that can kill, so now he takes over the entire bar, and whatever happens, it's his business. No, the Rebbe. How does Rebbe respond to this drasha, which says ki yiftach v'chichre? Our Malachi responds, Hanu mitzrach trichi kedamrinan. There's a reason why the Torah actually, you know, lists the Pesach and the Keira separately to tell you a certain halacha, as we learned yesterday. No, so the Rabban also needed it for that rush. Ella hainu tam, the Rabban, rather we look for a different source. The Rabban learned from a different pasuk. Amakro ki yichre ishbar, one man dug the bor, singular. Echad v'leishnaim, only one is responsible, not two. V'Rebbe, what does Rebbe do with that pasuk? Amay barile, it's coming to tell you ki yichre ishbar v'leishaybar, that only if a man digs a bor is liable, but if an animal digs a bor, the animal owner is not liable. That's why it says ish. V'Rabban, they respond trei ish ksivi, it says twice. Ish in the pasuk, Trei Ishbar Ksivi. It says Ki Yiftach Ishbar Ki Yichre Ishbar. One of them is coming to tell you that only the second digger is responsible. V'Rebbe, what does Rebbe do with the double ish? Well, it's just, you know, symmetrical language. I did the Ksiv Hai, because of Hai. Once it says it once to teach you to exempt the animal dug, so it says it a second time as well. Asks the Gemara. Okay, I understand that it's singular. Only one person is responsible for a pit at a time. But how do you know it's the second person? Maybe it's the first person that's going to be responsible because he initiated the pit. Maybe it's not coming to hold the second person responsible. Maybe only the first person. He can't suggest that. The pasuk says the pit that he dug killed the animal. So we're speaking about the one who created a boyer of misa, the one who added the 10th tefach number 10, which turned her into a killer. He's responsible, and only he's responsible. Asks the Gemara, well, behind me, see, Eloi, this pasuk is needed for something else. When boyle, look at the Rav, sharp sula mikdashim, shenafel lebar potter. Let's say we have a korban which got a blemish and is going to be redeemed. So, bottom line is, you can't feed it to any animal. So, if that animal dies, you have to bury it. So, if a sharp sula mikdashim falls onto a bar, you're not liable. Why? Shenema, the pasuk says, vamesi Eloi. Because he keeps the nevela, b'misha amei shaloi, and we learn a drasha that only liability and payment only applies to an animal which allows you to keep the carcass as opposed to psalm mikdashim. So it's a drasha, and it's needed for that. Amri, the answer is like this: you can learn two things from the same words, v'lav mele shamas mino. So, but by default, you also learn the other thing from the same pasuk, debahu de'avad misa askinan, that the one who created the bird that can kill, meaning the last fellow, the one who added tefach number 10, he's responsible, he is liable. So we learned that, and also the fact that you cannot be liable for psalm mikdashim, which doesn't allow him to keep the nevela. So bottom line, Reuven dug 9, Shimon added a 10th tefach. Well, what happened now? If it harmed, if it damaged, Rebbe says both are chayiv. If it killed, only the second one was chayiv. Rabbanon say, either way, only Shimon is totally chayv. Tan Rabbanon. Here comes another case. Echad achayv bar asar. Reuben dug 10, which can harm, which can injure and kill. So it's a complete bar. Uba acher v'shlim alachav. Shimon came and added another 10. Now it totals 20. So he didn't really change the status of the bar. He just made it deeper. Uba acher v'shlim alashloishim. Levi added 10 more. Kulan chayev, and they're all equally responsible. V'raminu v'avakasha. V'raminu. Echad achayv bar asar, Reuben dug 10. Ubo acher v'siyed achiyed, and Shimon comes and, you know, added trim and moldings. Acher chayv, only Shimon is chayv. So the Gemara figures at this point, perfect match to Rebbe and the Rabbanon. Are they both liable? Or only the last one? Lema, perhaps we'll say, Ha Rebbe, the first brisa, where they're jointly responsible. That's Rebbe Shita. Ha Rabbanon, the second brisa, where only Shimon is chayv, that's the Rabbanon. Amra's bid no. Hava Rabbanon. Both brises can certainly be working with the Rabbanon. Here it's very different because, remember, in the Rabbanon's case earlier, Reuben only did 9. It wasn't a full bar, but here Reuben did 10. Complete bar. Ah, it's kind of like Amra Rabbanon. Achron Chayb. You know when the Rabbanon considered only Shimon responsible? When Reuben didn't create a full bar that can kill. So Shimon completed, he takes over. But if Reuben created a full 10 tefach bar that can kill, even the Rabbanon agreed to Kulan Chayav, and then Reuben and Shimon are jointly responsible. Well, says the Gemara, what about the second brisa that we just mentioned? Vasir Dechiyeh, this fellow thickened it and added, you know, ornaments. The Ka'avad Kamashir Misa, it was already a 10 tefach bar. Uktani Achron Chayav, and the Braisa still says Shimon is fully responsible. Why? How does that fit with your explanation? Amri, the answer is like this. Hossam, you're wrong. Hossam shalehoya boy have a lemisa. It was a deep bar, but it was a bit wide. Rashi says, Tosef says it was wider, more than deep. In which case, there isn't enough mist and hevel and stuffiness that can kill. This second fellow was sort of thick in the walls by adding all these ornaments. He narrowed the bar and generated that stuffiness and lack of oxygen, which killed. So he actually made it a bar of misa, which triggers his and only his liability. There's another version of Rav Zvid's teretz. I'm Rav Zvid Havav Rebbe. You know, both prices that we just mentioned could be going like Rebbe, and we'll work it out. Price number one, where they're all jointly responsible. That's perfect, like Rebbe. All people are responsible. The second price, which holds Shimon solely responsible, was speaking that it was a very wide pit, which had no hevel at all. Not to kill, not to harm. And Shimon came and narrowed it, made it just the right configuration to create hevel for Misa, for Nezakin. So it was pretty much a benign entity until Shimon came along. And even Rebbe agrees in this case, only Shimon is responsible. So bottom line is like this. We have to summarize the sugya. So we have a bar. Okay, so now, if it's only 9 tefach deep, Reuben created 9. Shimon came and added a 10th. So here we have the machlekes. If it injured, Rebbe says Reuben and Shimon are both responsible. If it killed, only Shimon is responsible because he created the killer. According to Rabbanan, it's based on the Gzeres HaKosov, on the Drasha. When Shimon turned it into a killer, he totally takes over responsibility for everything. But, says the Gemara, if it was already 10 by Reuben and Shimon added another 10, even the Rabbanan would agree that they're both jointly responsible. On the other hand, if Reuben's pit was harmless and Shimon turned it into a harmful entity, of course, even Rebbe agrees that Shimon is fully responsible. Amar Rav, hineach even al pi abar, v'shlim al asara. So let's say Reuben dug 9. Shimon added, you know, like a rim of stones on the outside, on top. And now he created a 10 tefach drop on the inside. That's your classic case. Bono l'machlekes, Rebbe Rabban, this is the machlekes. Pshita, well, obviously, it's the same case as discussed before. Big difference, because he added on top. Mal detema, perhaps I would think, you can differentiate. L'mata, hu da havla didei kakata lei. Only the previous case where he added a 10th tefach on the bottom. So ultimately, when the animal fell in head first, he was struck by the hevel on the bottom, which, you know, was generated by this second person. He created that extra depth on the bottom. Avala malo. Deloy havla didei kakata, but in this case, where he added the tefach on top, so he had nothing to do with the hevel on bottom. Amaloy, so perhaps even the Rabban would agree that he's not, you know, fully responsible. Kamashman the Chiddush is no. Ultimately, he turned it into a 10 tefach deep bar, he's fully responsible. But Rav, here comes another case. Rav wants to know, Tom tefach vasilik avon of Mao. Reuben dug 9. Shimon added a 10th, but he stuffed it up. Tam tefach. He sort of plugged up his 10th and restored it back to the 9 tefach pit, which Reuben made. Or in the case of a silik havana, he added another 10 tefach of stone rim on top, but then he removed it and restored it back to a 9 tefach pit. Ma, what would you say in this case? Mi amrina shall we say my de'avad? Shakli. He removed his contribution. So it's back to square one, and only Reuben is responsible. Or you can say Nistalka Maserishan. According to Rabbanan, it's a Gzeres HaKosev. Shimon takes over the bar. Reuben's out of it. He's off the scene. The Kamali Kulibashusain is totally in Shimon's hands. So even if he now goes and undoes his contribution, he's still liable. He's still the owner. Take it with even unresolved. Omar Rabba Barbachan Omar Shmo. Bar Marta. Listen to this case. So we speak about the hevel, you know, moisture, humidity factor, which is certainly exacerbated by the presence of water. So typically a bar needs to be 10 tefach deep to have the, you know, adequate amount of level of hevel to be lethal. What about a bar shmoina? A bar which is just 8 deep. So it's really only 6 of empty space. plus two tefach with water, for a total of eight. Chayev. He's liable. You know why? My timer. Kol tefach d'maya could trade the abosha domi. Every tefach of water generates as much hevel as two tefach of dryness. So basically, this eight has the same level and degree of hevel like a ten tefach bar in Yuchayev. Boilo, here comes a new question. Let's sort of jigsaw around the numbers. Bar tisho mehen tefach echad mayim mao. What about a bar nine deep, of which one is water? What would you say in this case? So it's deeper but less water. Since there isn't the same amount as, you know, it's not like two tefach of water. Less bahavla, it doesn't generate enough humidity to sort of compensate for the lack of depth. On the other hand, given the amak tvei, it's deeper than the previous pit. Here it's nine. It's bahavla, so that sort of compensates and adds the hevel factor as well. That's a good question. Or on the other hand, you have bar shiva, a pit of seven, umhein shloish tvachamayim, of which three are water. So it's shallower, but more water. Mao, what's the aloha? Mi amrin shall we say, given the nevishimayim, the added volume of water, given the fish in mayim tfeid is more than that first case ispe havla, so tfeid ispe havla, it adds, you know, an added measure of hevel and it gives you the same amount of hevel like a regular bar. Or given the loyamka, since it's not really so deep to begin with, less be havla, it doesn't have the same level of hevel taken, we leave it unresolved. Boy minei rav sheizvi miraba, here comes a new question. Rechiva mau, where a bar 10 tefach deep can kill, generated, you know, by Reuven. Shimon comes along and widens the bar, makes it wider. Ma, what's the halacha? Armalis, he says, of course he's not chayiv. If anything, Rashi says, tava ila bracha, thank him. Harimiya tavla, he lessened the humidity, the hevel, because he made it wider, more, you know, open and you know, better circulation. Armalay, well, he says, well, otherwise, the opposite. Harikirav hezek, if anything, he brought the bar closer to the victim because he made it wider, so it has a wider latitude and it's more likely now that somebody can fall in. Elamar of Ashis, Rav Ashis depends. Let's not decide. It all depends on what happened. Nechziana, let's analyze what happened. Ibahavla Mayis, if the animal died because of the hevel factor, we have to analyze. If it was the hevel that did it, Harimiyat Havla. So Shimon is not responsible. If anything, he lessened the hevel, like we explained. Ibahavla Mayis, but if he died because of the impact, because of the fall, Harikir of Hezeka, then Shimon is responsible because, if anything, he increased on that because he widened it and made it more accessible. I mean, there's another version of this halacha. Omar of Ashi, next the animal will decide, Ima Higisa Nafal. Depends from which side the animal fell. If he fell on the side, you know, where Shimon enlarged it, Harikir of Hezeka, so Shimon is responsible because he brought it closer. But he fell from the other side, which was already pre-existing. And Shimon should be thanked for lessening the hevel. Itmar, comes another question. Bar evapit, whose depth equals its width. So let's say it's 10 tefach deep and 10 tefach wide. Rabbi Rav Yosef, they both had a discussion. Mishmei, they quoted the Rabbi Bar Chana, the Amor was quoting Mishmei the Rabbi Mani. But there was a disagreement between Rabbi and Rav Yosef in terms of what he said. Chad Amar once said like this: La'olam yesh behevel. There's always enough hevel to kill. Ad shehei rochava yoyshal amka. Unless the width exceeds its depth. So 10 deep and 11 wide, then you know there's no hevel. There's enough circulation, no hevel. V'chad Amar, the other one says, La'olam ein behevel. There's never hevel ad shehei amka yoyshal rochvan, unless depth is greater than width. So basically, he's going makula, that if it's exactly equal, you're good. Whereas according to the first version, equal is no good unless the width exceeds its depth. So the Mishnah says, a bird belonging to people, Reuven walked by, didn't cover, Shimon takes over, he's responsible. Why? Since one is, you know, Reuven absolved. I mean, why would Shimon take responsibility more than Reuven? Rabbi Rav Yosef, once again, these two Amirayim, the Amir Tavai, they're both quoting Mishmei, the Rav Archana, the Mishmei, the Rav Mani. Chadam won't explain like this. Why is Reuven absolved? We're speaking that Reuven noted that Shimon was now using the bar, so he walked away. Shimon takes over. Chadam, the other one says, it's not enough. the only time Shimon assumes full responsibility for this jointly owned bar is if Reuven actually handed Delia, some Mepharshim learn the cover, Rashi learns that way, Rashba learns the pail. Bottom line is, he sort of transferred responsibility to Shimon, so now Shimon takes over, Ketanoi, which is actually Machalikas Tanoim as well. Hamad Lamayim in a bar. Person drawing water from a pit, the Boch Haver of Amaloi. Shimon walks over and says, Hanachli, you know, let me, when you're done, I want to take over. When I add the mime, I want to draw water. Once Reuven notices Shimon drawing water, he's absolved, he can walk away, assuming Shimon will look after the bar. That's not enough. Shimon only takes over when Reuven actually handed over, you know, physically handed over the lid, etc. And we're speaking about a bar which is jointly owned, a bar shutf. So the machlekes and this price corresponds to the machlekes Rav Rav Yosef. At what point can Reuven walk away? But my kemiflegi, now what's this machlekes about? Why, according to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yaakov, would Shimon have to take physical possession of the lid, etc.? Why don't we just say, look, the fact that Shimon is using the bar makes him liable. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Savar Yesh Breira. He holds that when there's an item which is jointly owned, like a water pit. Yesh Breira means that whatever Reuven draws is destined for him. This is his part. He's not taking from Shimon anything. When Shimon draws into his pail, he's taking his. Yesh Breira, it's been verified, it's been revealed that this was meant for him, this was meant for him. Nobody's encroaching on the other person's territory. Hai mi didei kamamale, Reuven is drawing his, vai mi didei kamamale, Shimon is drawing from his. So, when Reuven draws his water and walks away and allows Shimon to draw his water, Shimon isn't really borrowing anything from Reuven. He's not responsible for the entire bar. So they're both jointly responsible. Rabbanu disagree. Ein breira. We never know which water was meant for whom. It's a shutfus. So technically you can say that Shimon, when he draws water, he's really borrowing some of Reuven's water. He's a shayel. And we know that a borrower is fully responsible. So as soon as Reuven notices Shimon using the berm, Shimon takes over responsibility. Amar Avinu v'azlu tamayu. The very same achlekes that we find here is to be found elsewhere with respect to how to, you know, analyze shutfus. The Snan, we have a Mishnah in the Maseches Nedarim. Hashutof and Shenadru Anoza Mizeh. Reuven and Shimon jointly own this yard. Okay? And they made a vow, they made a nether. You can't, you know, benefit from anything that belongs to me. Asurin, the Konos L'chatzar. So they're both sort of distancing from each other. They cannot even walk into a chatzar, which they both own, because inevitably, you know, each person is sort of benefiting from the other person's. Rav Lezer Nakavim, no. I'm walking into my space and you're walking into yours. Yesh Breira, right? Zeh nechnas shaloi, v'zeh nechnas shaloi. My kevifik lasa machalik sabat, like we explained. It's about Breira. Rav Lezer Nakavim, yesh Breira. It can be verified. Ha'il nafshei ayil, v'ayil nafshei ayil. Each fellow can claim that he's walking into his place. Right now, this is mine. Right? Given to my, for my use. And therefore, there's no issue of neder. Rabbana Sabra, ain't Breira, you never know. It's sort of like a one big mish. And therefore, they both have to keep out of the field of the chutz. Amar Blazer, it comes a new halacha. Ha'moichir bar l'chaveru. Reuven sells a water hole to Shimon. Kima shemasa lo'idol yekana. As soon as he gives him the lid, that's a kinyan. Well, what kind of kinyan is that? Hey, Chedami, what happened? How did he actually purchase? Which kinyan did he employ to acquire the pit? Iba kaspa, was it money? Look at Iba kaspa. So money is kinyan, it's real estate. Kesef is kinyan. Iba chazaka, was it through use, which is chazaka? Look at Iba chazaka, let that be enough. Look at Iba chazaka, you're right, it was chazaka, but typically the seller has to sort of empower the buyer. Typically the seller must instruct the buyer, go and do the chazaka. He has to sort of consent to that. So here he didn't do that. So instead, in lieu of this, you know, instruction, we say that giving over the lid is enough. We treat it as though the Amar Leh, like he told him, like he would have told him, Leh Chazek of Kni, Dama, you treat it as such, and therefore it works. In conjunction with the actual Chazaka Darot. Okay, let's summarize today's daf. A boyer of 10 Tfachim has enough Chavota, has enough Hevel to kill, and therefore a person is liable. Less than that can injure, can harm, and therefore there's liability for Nezakin. Let's say we have a bur which was dug by Reuben, and then Shimon came and added to it. Reuben dug 9, Shimon dug the 10th. Rebbe says, in terms of Nezakin, they're both chayv. In terms of Misaj, only Shimon is chayv. Rabbanan say, based on a pasuk, Shimon totally takes over the entire thing. But the Gemara tells us that in the case where the bur is already a lethal bur from Reuben's effort, in that case, all agree that even if Shimon added another 10 tefachim, they're both jointly responsible. On the other hand, if Reuben's bar could not do anything, all agree that only Shimon takes over and is fully responsible. We had discussions regarding water content in a bar, at what point do we say it makes up for lack of depth. We discussed a wide bar that has no hevel. We discussed a jointly owned bar. At what point would one fellow assume full responsibility? All the best to you, Psuris Tevis, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.